Good morning and welcome on into Locked On Patriots for Wednesday, January 3rd, 2018. Mark Schofield here in the big chair as I am 5 days a week. Remember, follow me on Twitter at Mark Schofield. Follow the work over at InsideThePylon.com. Doing draft stuff over there all the time. LockedOnPatriots.com as well. Going to get some more stuff up over there. And of course, Bleacher Report, the NFL 1000 project, where I am the quarterback scout. And that's where we're going to start today, because perhaps the greatest birthday present of all was Bleacher Report dropping my year-end quarterback rankings on my birthday. A lot of fun on the timeline in the aftermath of that. So what I wanted to do here today at the start was talk about those rankings, the methodology, my sort of process for putting them together, address some of the questions that have popped up on Twitter and elsewhere about the rankings themselves, dive into a couple of the players. Obviously, we'll talk about Tom Brady along the way. Then in the other half of the show, we'll continue our sort of teaser looks at some of the potential opponents for the New England Patriots in the divisional round. We'll take a look at the Kansas City Chiefs. But I want to start with the quarterback rankings, the year-end quarterback rankings again. They are up over at Bleacher Report. You can check those out. Tell me what you liked, what you didn't like, all that good stuff. But first, a bit on the methodology, and here's how it works. Watch every quarterback, every game, every snap, chart it and take notes on it. Sounds fun, doesn't it? Super fun when you're watching guys like Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. Maybe not as much fun when you're watching guys like DeShone Kizer and Drew Stanton and Bryce Petty and TJ Yates. But that's basically the underlying method to it. I mean, the way you've got to look at it is you can't just kind of look at one game, two games, make a little snapshot judgment. You've got to look, at least the way I did it, the entire body of work. Every play, every snap, every throw, every read, every interception, every incompletion, every sack, all that stuff, to get a true sense of where these guys are here in this season. And then you take detailed notes on it. I mean, if you want, I can dig up, you know, charting data and notes and stuff on a 3rd-and-15 DeShone Kizer through in week 1 against Pittsburgh. Actually, I'm looking about it now. How about a 3rd-and-11 completion for 13 yards on the second drive of Cleveland's season in a 2x2 formation where he flew through a flood concept to the tight end on a well-placed throw. I'm looking at that note right now. I've got notes on all these guys for every single game, every single play. So that was sort of the underlying process to it. And each week over a Bleacher Report, I would write up half the guys, and Doug Farrar would write up the other half. And that's how we would divide it up in season, rank the guys week to week. But all of that was building towards the year-end rankings that I put together. And on those year-end rankings, they are trait-based grades. We graded these guys on 4 traits at the quarterback position: accuracy, arm strength, their ability under pressure, and their decision-making. Then we added in a positional value, which was another 10 points. Arm strength and accuracy were graded on a scale of 0 to 25. Decision-making and under pressure, a scale of 0 to 20. Positional value, 10 out of 10 for the quarterback spot. Other positions, it's lower. Overall grade of 100. So that's sort of the methodology to it in terms of how you're grading these guys. And to start with some of the questions that I've gotten about the grading process, obviously that does sort of impact why guys might be higher than others. For example, the fact that arm strength is in there, that pushes some guys up that might not be ranked similarly high on other spots. So guys like Cam Newton, Aaron Rodgers, Matthew Stafford, guys that have sort of elite arm talent, they get sort of pushed up boards. You know, and the fact that these are the four traits that we're grading, you know, it does sort of influence grades in different directions for guys than you might see at other websites. You know, a question that's come up is, you know, Matthew Stafford's your QB5. He's not even in the top 10 over at Pro Football Focus. Well, that's understandable. They're graded more stuff. You know, but for the process that we had and how we put this together, the ranking system that we used, that's how we graded out for me. So that's sort of an underlying look at the process and the methodology. We come back and here in a second, I'm going to talk about some of the rankings and address some of the other questions that came up. That's next with me, Mark Schofield, and Locked On Patriots. All right, let's dive into the rankings themselves, and it should probably be no surprise, but your highest graded quarterback of the 2017 football season is Tom Brady. Graded out on an overall grade of 91 out of 100. Fared pretty well in most categories: ability under pressure, decision making, arm strength, accuracy. Arm strength is lowest category of the four, but still graded out very, very well. So a very good season for Tom Brady. I don't think that should be a surprise. Obviously, he had a bit of a letdown over the, you know, games 12 through 16, so to speak, through interceptions in five straight games, but not enough to really drop him down the rankings. And, you know, before we move through this, what was really interesting grading these guys out is the quarterback pitcher in the AFC is so different than the quarterback pitcher in the NFC. You know, because you look through the guys, say, in the top five: Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Drew Brees, and Matthew Stafford. One AFC quarterback, four guys in the NFC. Only one of whom made the playoffs. You know, and then you stretch it out, you've got Roethlisberger in at six, Cam Newton, Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, Case Keenum, then Matt Ryan, then Kirk Cousins, then Philip Rivers. It's a sort of long drop-off in the quarterback talent in the AFC versus the NFC. The AFC, there's the usual suspects: Brady, Rivers, Roethlisberger. And then you've got, you know, you get into Alex Smith, Blake Bortles, Deshaun Watson, who got hurt, Tyrod Taylor, Josh McCown, Derek Carr, Dalton Mariota. I mean, it was just a down year on the quarterback side in the AFC. And that sort of bears itself out in the playoffs. You look at the NFC playoff teams, they're just deeper top to bottom than the teams in the AFC. So that was rather interesting when you're going through and doing these. Questions that I got: one, you know, how is Matthew Stafford so high? You know, and I sort of alluded to that earlier. You know, Stafford being five for me doesn't even crack the top five over a Pro Football Focus. And part of that is the fact that we're grading arm talent, and it's a core component of this. That gets his grade up a little bit. You know, his ability to sort of make off-platform throws with velocity and good ball placement, it's, I don't want to say it's unparalleled right now in the NFL, but he's a very, very good thrower of the football. So I think he deserves a ton of credit for the season he had. Another question: why is Cam Newton so high? Newton had a pretty poor statistical year this year. You know, if you look at some of the, you know, the traditional and non-traditional, more advanced passing metrics, this wasn't a great year for Cam Newton as a passer. You know, adjusted net yards per attempt, only 5.28. That was 23rd in the league. You look at QBR, which isn't the best statistic, but again, he's 19th. You know, Cam threw 16 interceptions, second most in the league. with an interception percentage of 3.3, which was a bottom five number. But there are things in the traits that we grade that moved Cam Newton up the board. I've talked a lot, both on Bleacher Report and elsewhere, about his ability to throw with velocity, his ability to use torque, to use his upper body, his left arm and shoulder to generate velocity on throws. He does it better than anybody. So that velocity score, that arm talent score, that was a big one. And then his ability under pressure. You know, because his ability as an athlete to extend plays with his legs, that comes into the picture. So even though he graded somewhat poorly when it comes to decision making and accuracy, because he struggles with ball placement, that was still enough to move him into the top 10. So that's part of the reason why you see a disparity between where I have Cam Newton, where other sites have Cam Newton. Other questions that have come up. Why was Carson Wentz so low? An MVP candidate who, you know, when it came down to it, finished second in touchdown passes despite missing the final three games of the season. And for Carson Wentz, and look, nobody's a bigger fan of Carson Wentz than I am. I love the kid coming out of North Dakota State. I put myself up on Wentz Hill. Fought off a lot of the takes when it seemed like Wentz might be a bust his rookie year. But he definitely made strides this year, and the thing that's really sort of holding him back right now, the one area I really would like to see him improve upon, is his decision-making. There were times when he still stared down routes. There were times when he would lock on to his primary target. So that decision-making, that process, the mental process in the pocket is an area where he still needs to improve, and that dropped him down a bit. But it was still a top 10 season for him. And I think if you're an Eagles fan, you should be really excited about where he is. Similarly, if you're a Rams fan, shout out to our friends over at Turf Show Times, a Rams site, part of the SB Nation network. You know, they picked up on the rankings that came out and did a nice little piece saying that there was absolutely nothing they could find an argument with in Goff's ranking. And I think with Goff, it's, you know, he made a leap. Still has areas where he needs to improve against pressure and in terms of his decision making, but it was a nice little leap forward for Jared Goff as well. You know, other questions that have come up, you know, why was Case Keenum so low? And, you know, for Keenum, one of the things that sort of held him back was decision-making and the fact that we're great in arm strength. You know, Keenum doesn't have the type of overpowering arm that other guys do. And so that held him back a bit. But it was still a tremendous season for Case Keenum. But in terms of Keenum's decision-making, he still makes one or two throws a game that are head-scratchers. And that's something to watch as we get into the playoffs. Is he going to continue to make those throws, force those throws like he did against Washington, like he did against Green Bay in Week 16, that maybe they go for interceptions, maybe they don't, but when you're facing better defenses in the playoffs, those throws, those ill-advised decisions become turnovers, become interceptions, and those can be killers in the postseason. Another question I got a lot, when you get sort of into that, like, second sort of, or maybe you want to call it the third tier of quarterbacks. Why did I have Blake Bortles just above Alex Smith and Deshaun Watson? You know, and that's an interesting one. And I think where it finally came down to, with at least with respect to Deshaun Watson, again, another guy I loved, he was my QB1 last year. The decision-making and the arm strength are still questions. He threw 19 touchdown passes, sure. You know, and he only did it in a handful of games. But he threw 8 interceptions as well in only 6 starts. You know, so there's still a decision-making issue there. That's something to consider. You know, and his sort of interception ratio of 3.9, that was pretty high for quarterbacks, especially when you look at quarterbacks that started, say, more than three games. Only DeShone Kizer and Trevor Siemian were higher. So Watson does have a way to go, but I think he was the best sort of rookie quarterback this year. You know, and another side note, could ask, you know, why Patrick Mahomes isn't in here. We sort of put in a 100-snap threshold for this because, again, we wanted to see an entire body of work, not just one game. So that was why, you know, Mahomes wasn't included. Now, for Bortles over Alex Smith, again, not trying to take away from what Bortles did this year because, yeah, he ended the season on a bit of a down note, but he was great in December. And there were some games early in the year as well where, you know, I found myself writing, man, is it time to say that Blake Bortles is good? You know, so I got a lot of questions. Okay, how did you have Bortles over Watson? How did you have Bortles over Alex Smith? And with Smith, it's similar. You know, I really sort of looked at the decision-making, and that's what really held him back there because decision-making isn't just interceptions. You know, there's more to it than that. And part of it is the decisions that you do or don't make, the times that you have receivers open and don't throw it. And I really sort of held them back there in that aspect of it. You know, so that's, you know, that's kind of how that ended up. Other grades of note, you know, near the bottom, you've heard me talk about DeShone Kizer. Obviously struggles this year. Guys near the bottom as well. Joe Flacco had a really down year. You know, I talked a lot this year about how it was basically almost a historically poor season. And when you look at adjusted net yards per attempt, Flacco was 29th in the league. 18 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. You know, it just wasn't it almost got him into the playoffs, but it wasn't the kind of season that you'd like to see. And so, you know, there were mistakes, there were reads that he could have done better. So that's sort of what held Flacco back there. But in all, look, that was kind of the way I looked at the season. But more than anything, that's just me, one guy, looking at all these quarterbacks and offering some takes. Are people going to agree? Maybe. Are people going to disagree? Yeah, probably more likely the people disagree with these takes. And people have already told me about it. But that's fine. Like at the end of the day, you know, grading quarterbacks and evaluating quarterbacks, there's a very subjective component to it. You know, and I'm cognizant of that. I recognize that. And, you know, when I look at a decision a quarterback makes, I may read it one way. Some people may read it another way. Maybe people prefer more conservative decisions. Maybe people want more aggressive decisions. So they might be wildly different on me than somebody else. You know, maybe people look at how somebody handles the pocket and read it differently than I do. So, I mean, it's totally understandable when I see people, you know, disagreeing with stuff like this and having their own takes. And that's the way it should be. Like, as I say during a lot of my draft videos that I do, you know, I'm just putting my stuff out there, but I really sort of want people to make up their own minds. You know, have their own sort of takes on it. And, you know, when I do a video on a Josh Allen or a Baker Mayfield, it's just, this is sort of my thought, but I'm not telling you that I am right. I'm telling you why I think I'm right, but I'm not necessarily right or wrong, you know. But that's kind of a quick look at the year-end grades and all these quarterbacks. Again, you can check that out over at bleacherreport.com. If you've got grades you agree with, disagree with, let me know. You can hit me up on Twitter, at Mark Schofield. Up ahead now, we're going to take a quick look at the Kansas City Chiefs, AFC West champions, and a potential divisional round foe for the New England Patriots. That's next with me, Mark Schofield, and Locked On Patriots. All right, let's close this out now with a little teaser look at the Kansas City Chiefs, your AFC West champions. And they will host a divisional round playoff game against the Tennessee Titans. And provided it is the Chiefs that come out ahead, and the Jaguars that come out ahead, then it will be the Kansas City Chiefs making the trip back to Foxborough, as they did 2 years ago for a divisional round game. And the Kansas City Chiefs, rather interesting season from them. And perhaps nobody knows that better than New England Patriots and their fans. You know, the Chiefs were in Foxborough on opening night and really sort of, I don't want to say shocked the football world, but it was a rather eye-opening win when they came out with a 42-27 victory over the New England Patriots. And the Chiefs put up some incredible numbers in that game. 352 passing yards from Alex Smith, 187 rushing yards, most of those from Kareem Hunt, who finished the year as the NFL's leading rusher on the 2017 season. You know, and this is a team that started 5-0. But then after week 13 was 6-6 after a loss on the road to the New York Jets. So this is a team that went from 5-0 to 6-6. Came out of their bye and laid an egg in a road contest against the New York Giants, who were not a good football team at any point in the season. Andy Reid gave up play calling to offensive coordinator Matt Nagy. You know, there were questions for this team, especially during that stretch when they lost, you know, 6 out of 7 games. You know, and there were questions about Alex Smith as well. You know, and I alluded to some of those sort of in, you know, in the first half of the show where, you know, there were questions about his ability to run the offense. Would they go to Patrick Mahomes at some point? They never did until the season finale when everything was locked up for them. You know, but strip all of that away, and what you've sort of seen over the past couple of weeks now is they got the run game going again. You know, when they lost to Pittsburgh, they were held to 28 rushing yards. When they lost to the Raiders, they were held to 94. When they lost to the Cowboys, they were held to 68. When they lost to the Bills, they were held to 55. You know, but they closed the season with 4 straight wins. And in terms of rushing yards in those games, they put 165 on the Raiders, 174 on the Chargers, 103 on the Dolphins, and 110 on the Broncos last week. So they started to get the ground game going again, which was big for them. Because that sets up a lot of what they like to do offensively. That sets up the play-action pass game. It sets up some of the RPO stuff that they do, where Alex Smith is most comfortable as a quarterback. So that's a concern one. You've got to sort of slow down Kareem Hunt, slow down that run game, because their playbook looks a lot different on 3rd and 3 than it does on 3rd and 10. So if it's the Chiefs that come to town, that's job one. Got to stop the run. Now, what's been interesting is defensively, the Chiefs have started to really sort of trail off. You know, and you look at this defense right now. And in terms of DVOA, it's a bottom level defense. 32nd over at Football Outsiders. Actually, I'm reading that wrong. They're 30th over at Football Outsiders. New England 31st. But they're 23rd against the pass, 32nd against the run. So there will be opportunities to move the ball on this team. And if it comes down to a shootout between Tom Brady and Alex Smith, especially with the Patriots having a bye week, I think you have to like New England's chances in that game. And so I think if it, you know, if it is Kansas City that comes to town, I think it's going to look a lot differently than it did on opening night. I don't anticipate the Chiefs having the same kind of success as they did on opening night. And part of that also becomes due to the fact that the New England Patriots defensively are a very different team here now as we head into the playoffs than they were in week one. You know, and you can sort of focus on yardage allowed and say, oh, the Patriots are a bottom five defense because they've given up, you know, over 5,800 yards. You can focus on, you know, passing yards per game. Oh, the Patriots are a bottom five defense. They give it up 251.3 yards per game through the air. But what matters most? Points per game, right? That's the job of a defense. Keep the other guys out of the end zone, right? And this is a point that Matt Chatham, Chatham58, has been making all week long on Twitter. You know, you can throw out DVOA and stuff like that out there and say, look, this is a bottom five defense, and that's okay, but let's put it in a little bit more context here. The Patriots give up 18.5 points per game on the season. Only four teams are better right now. Minnesota, Jacksonville, who we've talked about as having potentially an historic pass defense, the Chargers, who didn't make it into the playoffs, the Eagles, who are your one seed in the NFC, and then the Patriots, who are your one seed in the AFC. You know, because the job of a defense is to prevent the other team from scoring. If you're giving up a tons of yards per game, but only 18 points, that's not too bad. You know, and 18 points usually are enough when you've got Tom Brady as your quarterback. And just to drive this point home a little bit further, Denver Broncos are third in the league in terms of giving up yards per game. They give up only 290 yards per game. Only the Jaguars and the Vikings are better. But in terms of points per game, they're giving up 23.9 points per game. Which puts them in the bottom 10 among all defenses. So that's almost a touchdown point difference between what Denver's doing and what the Patriots are doing on the defensive side of the ball in terms of points per game as a defense. We're talking about almost a touchdown difference. That's huge. So, yeah, it's great that the Broncos are holding teams to low yardage numbers, but they're still giving up almost a touchdown more per game. And when you get down to the playoffs and you might get into some closer games, having that extra touchdown at hand is kind of nice. So this is a different defense than we saw in week one. And so for that and other reasons, I think that if the Chiefs are the team that come to Foxborough in a week, the Patriots should be okay. That's been your Wednesday edition of Locked On Patriots. Took a look at some quarterback rankings, opined on that for a little bit, then dove in a little teaser action onto the Kansas City Chiefs, a potential divisional round foe for the New England Patriots. Tomorrow's show, we're going to do some similar stuff. We're going to take a look at the Buffalo Bills, a potential division around foe who we know, as well as some other stuff, some fun stuff in store for you as well. Until then, keep it locked right here to me, Mark Schofield, and Locked On Patriots.